Welcome back, everybody, to the Worship Project podcast. We're so excited that you're here with us. Today, we're talking about calling, both specific calling for an individual as well as general, what every believer is supposed to do in life and ministry. And today on the panel, I've got with me Derek Tam, myself, Adam Hoskins, Nikki Fletcher, and Joshua Rambaju. We're going to jump right into conversation. Okay, guys, let's talk about anointing and calling. And all the weird things that are surrounding this this topic. Okay. And I want to hear from you maybe some personal stories about how you are flushing out anointing and calling, both specifically what you're doing in life and what God has called you to, as well as maybe what God has called every believer to and how you're flushing that out. I'm going to start with Derek. If you just want to share maybe just a personal story about how you come to where you are and how you're flushing that out.
Oh, we've got to have a couple hours for that. It's funny because I think when it came to my pastoral calling, so those of you who don't know, I'm a worship pastor at Avenue Community Church. And when I came to Christ at around 17, a couple years after that, I received this whisper from God at this retreat. And it couldn't have been any clearer for me. It was like this whisper during this very intense moment of praying for these youth at that retreat. And he literally said, "Derek, this is what you're gonna do for the rest of your life." And that shifted every gear of my body, of my own personal vision and my own desires. I'm like, "Wait, what did you say?" Mm. Like, "This is what you're gonna do." Now, what that meant, it took a long time to really flesh that out, as you said, right? Yeah. And so when it came to pastoral calling, I knew that that was a direction that the Lord wanted me to go to. Not every detail, but I knew that that was a foundational moment and foundation for me that I haven't really doubted ever since.
Yeah.
But to be honest, the call or anointing, as you would say, for me as a worship leader, that was a real struggle for me.
Huh.
And I honestly would say, and honestly, people don't really believe it, but I probably have never felt affirmed as a worship leader probably until the last couple of years. Yeah. And I've been doing it for probably 15, 16 years.
Wow.
And it baffles my mind that it took that long, but I think there's a lot of things that has happened in my life. Mm. And, you know, especially being a, you know, going into this pastoral calling, like the molds that you're trying to fit into, you know, the usual steps in the church culture that you're in. Oh, I'm going to intern as a youth pastor, and then I'm going to take this next step as an associate, or maybe the only step for you is to be this like lead pastor someday. And I just didn't know. I was just ignorant too, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't know. And I was like, oh, there's no place as a worship leader vocationally, pastorally. I just didn't know that.
Yeah.
So for me, I think knowing it definitely helped knowing my place in terms of God leading me as a pastor.
Sure.
But it took actually God using a lot of people around me to really help affirm that calling and anointing of me as a worship leader, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, where that finally came into fruition.
Well, I mean, okay, so I want to kind of maybe take a little stab in here, because we're throwing around this word anointing, and I think that this is maybe one of the most ambiguous or at least it's a word that well, for one, we don't use it in our everyday conversation.
When
we don't say
it, you don't really know,
or we use it, right?
Yeah.
Like when you're cooking, you could say, "I'm gonna anoint this chicken with some oil," you know what I mean, or whatever. Maybe that's what I'm saying, you know what I mean? I'm gonna anoint
this.
Or this plate is anointed. I feel like those are some of the ways that I throw it around. But in the context of ministry,
how have we never eaten Adam's anointed chicken?
Come on, guys! Come on, you guys gotta come over.
It's actually really good as dry rub. On point.
I'm telling you.
Anointed
dry rub. No, but seriously though, like it's one of those things, right? Where we sometimes throw this word around.
Yeah.
We have no idea. And I think that sometimes it can be more destructive than it is affirming for someone, because you'll hear a leader maybe say that person is anointed. They'll say something like they have an anointed voice, or when they sing that song, they're anointed to sing that. And what that inadvertently sometimes says is that everyone else who sings that song in that context doesn't have what they have.
Yeah.
Nikki, I want to hear from you how you've kind of flushed out this idea of calling and anointing and in ministry, and maybe a little bit, because you've got a journey. You got the journey, you know what I mean?
Sure.
But I just want to hear, let's give us a snippet of how you've kind of flushed out this journey in your life.
Yeah, it's funny because I think you know, there's two things that I think of. I used to say, like, I'm a closet Anglican. I'm a very contemplative person in my style. So not growing up in the church and kind of discovering church culture and church world and trying to get my bearings a little bit as a young person and really understanding where I fit in that and who I am. And so a lot of the contemplative authors, Thomas Merton and James Martin, they talk about becoming is a part of your discipleship. It's actually part of living out your calling. It's actually part of stepping into your anointing, is discovering who you were made to be. So your calling, for example, as pastor or something, regardless of your role, regardless of where you are, you're going to pastor people, because that's part of God's anointing on your life, his power and his presence and the way that he manifests in who you are and everything that you touch. So for me, it's taken a long while. It's felt really confusing and really mystifying, because I've done a lot of roles. And so I think the confusion around, is my calling something that I do? Because, and then, you know, the enemy loves to kind of stab in there and try to confuse you even more. And so just to share a little story about that for me is I was on this retreat. And it was kind of this discovery retreat thing, and it was great. But the person who was leading it, and again, it's not, you know, evil meaning or anything, but sometimes people say stuff and then you attach to it. You take that thing and you put it onto your body and you carry it around for much longer than you intended to or that you should have. And so he was talking to me, oh, well, Nick, you know, you're an educator and you're a worship leader and you like to write music, you do all this stuff. You know, one day you're going to have to choose, right? And I kind of looked at him and I thought, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to have to choose. And so I internalized that immediately. And in my mind then, I started to just take everything off the list in my head that didn't feel like the most important thing or the thing that I loved. And so then I was left with, you know, a small number of things at the top of that list that I felt, okay, well, if I'm called to do something, I can't miss that. You know, I want to do that thing. And everything else has got to go then. And God had to really unravel me from that for a number of years. And so it's been in the process of me discovering it. It's funny because I wrote all the stuff down that I love to do and what my personality is like and where I've seen God's power manifest in my life. And I said to my husband, I think I figured it out. I think that I'm called to help people worship God. And he kind of looked at me like, oh gosh, took you that long to figure that out?
Like, he's like, I could have told you that.
I told you that.
I know Ryan. Ryan's like, yeah, whatever. Okay. Yeah,
what do you mean? Totally. It took you how long? But so for me, in part of my calling of where I see God's power manifest in my life, that whether I'm at home with my children, whether I'm here with you guys, whether I'm on a platform with a microphone in my hand, whether I'm teaching a classroom, like my calling, like God's power into my life is helping people to worship God. So I think that, but even in the process of that, it's taken a lot of time to figure out who I am. And then you think of the intersections, like you were saying, you then have these boxes, right? Like, okay, well, if I'm gonna be a pastor, I have to, you know, you're wrestling with all of these boxes. And so in the intersections of how you grew up, what your social culture is that you're trying to figure out. And then, like, for me as a female in ministry, like, what does that mean for me? And where do I feel like, oh, I'm not supposed to go there, or I feel these weird out of place feelings here. And so all of that is God working himself out in us. And it's a process on purpose.
It really kind of brings light to, you know, what you guys are saying in terms of it being worked out in community with people and it being this whole process and more of who you are and who God has made you to be rather than what you're actually doing. I think about, there's a number of things I think about. The first thing is, man, maybe every single time that I have criticized a Christian leader for something that they've done, like, for instance, I'll see a popular pastor write a book. And my instant thing is like, oh, you're doing the book thing. Like, of course, like, you know what I mean? But what if they're anointed to, in, you know, like, just like you, like, they're anointed to help maybe help people see Jesus in a clearer light. And just one of the ways that they're doing it is now through a book. They were preaching before, they were leading a small group before, and now they're gonna, you know, put their thoughts down into a book. Who am I to judge that, right? Like, who are we to say, oh, this pastor is, they're getting big now, so now, of course you have to, that's the rite of passage, now you have to write a book or whatever it is. But it's less about what you're doing, and it's more about who God has made you to be and how you're flushing that out. Yeah. And the specific things that you're trying to do and the mediums, you bring those different mediums into the picture as you go on in life. And I also think about maybe some of the songs that we sing that specifically deal with the word anointing. Mm-hmm. I think about that chorus, like, anointing fall on me, let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. And there's our conversation sometimes maybe brings that into tension. Because in some ways, God has already placed his anointing on us. Yeah. Like, there's already, that anointing is already there. We're, you know, like, I don't know, maybe talk to me. Like, it's like, should we be asking for more? Or is that something that, go for it, eat it up.
I'm gearing up for it.
It's open game right now.
Like, yeah, I mean, I think yes, we can all, you know, we run to the throne of grace, right? We can ask for more of that. I think that's always open to us. God is more generous than we are always. But I think on the flip side of that, and because it's something too, that I think if you disregard calling or anointing on people's lives, then sometimes they can feel like it's just for everybody. Like, we can just ask for it and it's for everybody. And I've wrestled with that because I'm a people pleaser. And so I'll very much like, no, it's okay, you do it.
And then
not understanding. And I remember God saying to me very specifically in a dark moment of prayer, you know what I'm talking about? We reveals dark. Your sin to you. You're like, no! I can't look at it.
He's like, stare at it.
But he said, you are acting like Esau. You are willing to trade your birthright.
Yeah.
And I just thought to myself, like, no, I take it back. But sometimes we forget that God's saying, like, I don't care that it might make other people uncomfortable. I don't care if you feel like you're gonna have to explain yourself. I don't care whatever I've asked you to do that.
Yeah.
And you're responsible to me.
Yeah.
You're gonna look me in the eyes, and I'm gonna ask you, were you faithful?
Yeah.
And so, like, whether you think somebody else could do a better job, whether you think that, well, we should just all do it because that will feel better to everybody's ego.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just asking you to do the thing I asked you to do.
Yeah, yeah. And what's cool about that is that even more than that, is that he's equipped you to do that as well. And so, whatever he has asked you to do in regards to that whole idea of anointing, he's actually given you everything that you need. You are not lacking to do the task that he has given you. And he will help you. It's co-laboring, right? Like, we do this with Jesus. It's co-laboring. But I think sometimes, even on that vein, like, we say, well, this person can do it better.
Yeah.
Especially when we wrestle with the arts, right? Like, when we think about, you know, why would I want to sing when I sit beside Derek and I hear him sing and stuff? But sometimes God has asked me to sing. That's you know what I mean? And he's equipped me to sing in the voice that I have. And I'm just using singing as an example because I suspect that there's a lot of people who are watching this who can resonate with that. Yeah. But I mean, there's a myriad of things that he has asked you to do and he's equipped you to do. And although you might feel as though other people can do it better, he's told you to do it.
Yeah.
You have to do it. Okay, Josh, I want to hear about your story and how you've been wrestling this idea of anointing and calling in your life.
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's such a matter of can versus should. You know, it's like the second dimension to calling is there's a lot of things that we can do, but should we do them? And understanding our calling is where the should comes in, because it really does deal with your capacity, right? If you try to do everything, then you'll burn yourself out. But if you know what God has called you to do and you run in that, well, then you can't be burnt out. As Adam, you're saying, he's given you everything you need. Yeah. And I think that's been so consistent with my story is coming into, like, vocational ministry, I guess is what I'd call it. I remember a friend who kind of hit me with this one line one day. She asked me, what are you doing past graduation? You know, I was at York, and she's like, well, are you going to keep working at GKM? And I thought, well, yeah, yeah, why not? And she said, well, I mean, it kind of fell into your lap. And I just, I took offense to that. But more than that, it deeply just unseated me in like, is this what God has me doing? Or is it just like, did it actually fall into my lap? And it's been so consistent with my journey of even coming to GKM as a place of, you know, I knew about Jesus, but I did not know Jesus. And so much of my Christian identity was tied to what I did. Yeah. So for me, this has always been this intricate tension of making sure that I know what I'm called to do before I end up worshiping and serving the thing rather than Jesus. And that's just, that's been the tension for me. So moving past that, I think one of the big things that I'm looking for is how am I thriving in what God has called me to do? Yeah. And if I'm not thriving, it probably means I'm not doing what he needs me to do. I think that's the big thing is there's this awareness. We talk on our staff about, you know, settling in. When you have that retirement mentality of like, hey, I'm 23. I love what I'm doing at this church. I'm going to retire here. That's a really dangerous moment. That's a really terrifying moment. Wow. Yeah, right? Wow. Well, I just say I'm 23, but,
downhill you know. From here?
I was like, man, I got it. Yeah, I know. But I mean, I have some colleagues who are in their 30s who say the same thing. You know, like, oh, yeah, you know, like if you ever get to that moment, that's dangerous. We all say that. We're like, listen, we should never settle into a place of comfortability. And not to say from the oppositional standpoint, you should always be like, woe is me, why does God have me here? But it's this tension of, am I doing what God has called me to do? And if I'm not, how do I adjust to make sure that I am?
Yeah, I think about the specific thing that God has called you to do. And you know, a number of you guys have all alluded to it in some way. I'm thinking of the person who's maybe watching this, who is wondering, who's asking that question, how do I know what it is that God has called me to do? I want to hear how maybe you guys wrestled that out, maybe in a little more detail of like, and maybe even some practical steps of what a person can do to wrestle that down. I'm going to start with you, Nikki, because...
Yeah, I mean, if you don't know yourself, then you... I mean, this is like a super Jesuit thing to say, but like, if you don't know yourself, you don't know God. Like, there is a very clear understanding that like, if you want to understand what God has called you to do, how he has wired you and specifically made you exactly how he's made you to live out his purpose through you, and you don't know yourself, then that's a problem. There's going to be a disconnect there. So for me, that required me to, you know, I don't know, heal from some things. You have to look back at how you were raised, why you're behaving the way that you're behaving. I mean, I've done Enneagram coaching, I've done counseling. Like there's been a number of things, you know, having yearly, I have a yearly time where I go away for a couple nights, just a silent and solitude retreat where I can just go and meet with the Lord without anybody else. God, tell me who I am. Like, what is, who are you? Who am I? Let me get reoriented here. And those types of things that you can discover who you are so that God can then show you who he is in you.
And I think it's so much more, like, I want to make sure that we're understanding this. It's more than just like, I like the color blue, I enjoy pizza with no pineapples, and my preference in vehicle is an SUV over a hatchback. It's more than just that, but it's actually knowing yourself in and out of season. It's knowing why you do the things that you do. And so there's a, this is deeply practical in terms of there's a ton of things out there that can help you find that. You mentioned the Enneagram, there's personality things. You know, without getting into anything that's like new agey or like, you know, crazy, like, oh, what's going on here? Like,
click unsubscribe.
Horoscopes. You need your horoscope. I'm just kidding. No. I'm totally joking. Messing around. We're kidding, guys. No, but there's some deeply practical things about understanding yourself that it's not just about sitting down and praying and saying like, go God, help, like God, help me to find out. But there's some legwork that you gotta do. Like you gotta crack it open and get into that. Yeah. Derek, you wanna speak to that at all?
Yeah, you know what? I think there's definitely merit in that. I think, you know, one thing that I'm always reminded of in Isaiah is like, you know, when he says, you know, my ways are higher, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And he says all that because it's an alluding to how much we need to seek the Lord, right? And so there's a need for us first to always be seeking the Lord.
For sure.
To know him and also for revelation of like our own self. I think some things that have helped me, honestly, is I spoke to you guys before, is like, emotionally healthy spirituality, like that program has actually helped me and in my marriage, in my own self-awareness, knowing my past, knowing why I think the way I think, my insecurities, and for me to really bring that into light and heal from them.
Yes.
Because until you heal from all the things that, you know, you've experienced and you've kind of been hurt, all the hurt that's been there, that stuff doesn't go away. It's not like, you know, we all know, it's like the old is gone, the new has come, right? But it doesn't mean that it doesn't linger there. And all that stuff, we're still bringing into this new life we have with Jesus, right?
Yeah.
I think there's a need for us to have that awareness. So that program has really helped me. Another thing, honestly, as I mentioned in my story at the beginning of this episode, was how God speaks to people. You know, and for me, that's actually been super important. And one of my love languages is actually, what is it? Affirmation? Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation.
That's right. And
love
so,
you, Derek.
Yeah,
love
thanks,
you,
man. Oh, I feel so good right now. Oh.
You are awesome. Killing it.
Okay, ego is starting to rise. but in all honesty, you know, for me, lacking that affirmation when I was kind of growing up, it has helped so much when God has placed people in my life, mentors, people who I've trust to help affirm me, to help me know who I am, to help me know, like, Derek, you just recognize that these are your gifts, because I had so many insecurities growing up, right? These are your gifts, like, and helping me with that process. It wasn't just like a me and God thing, but, you know, he's called us to be with him, be with people, you know, and just recognizing the people who he's entrusted you to be with alongside you, walking alongside you. I think really, like, hang on to those people and letting them speak into your life and humbly taking that and processing that is important.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
I completely agree. That's been so valuable to me, is that healthy group, that smaller group, one might even refer to it as a small group of people.
Crazy.
You know, that you can trust, that understand you as well and are able to, you know, speak into your life, but also call you out. You know what I mean? When they see you behaving in unhealthy ways or not thriving, you know, and it takes that sitting down and getting to know each other. And, you know, we're not supposed to live in solitary confinement to each other, right? Yeah. So it's important to have that group of people there to speak into your life, to call you out, and to make sure that you are thriving in what God has called you to do. It's so important.
Yeah.
It's intimacy and risk to be in those relationships and time.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Somebody to say to you, like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not you.
Mm-hmm. Or that could be you.
Right.
If you invested in that.
Right.
And you need to keep going in that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, you need to keep doing that.
But why not you? Why aren't you going up
there? You
know,
yeah, exactly. Or the one that'll raise your hand in the thing when you're like, I'm not doing it. And they're like, no.
You know what? Like, those are the people who, for me, have helped me find, like, you know, what I've learned, like, when I was young, like sweet spot, that sweet spot in where you feel like you need to be, you'd serve. I didn't use the word anointing growing up. Right.
Yeah.
And even now it's like, it's a missing language. I feel like we need to talk to people about that more. Like, we were talking about that. And, but you know, in baseball, you know, when you're swinging and you're hitting the ball with that bat, there's that sweet spot on the bat.
That crack, man.
And it's a mixture of a lot of things. It's not just like one thing.
Yeah.
But to find that, like, where is your gifting? Where is the affirmation at? Like, where is God's kind of voice in that as well? It's like a mixture of all these things where you can cumulatively see that and if you
reflect, right, then you can go back in your life and figure out, and you can start to see patterns. I thrive here and here, what do all those things have in common, or what was going on in my life when that was happening? And then you can start to see, you know, God loves when we search for him. He loves when he sends us on these treasure hunts to dig up treasure. And so he's just like, okay, well, here, let's start to make a puzzle together. I'm going to take you on this unveiling journey.
And there's incredible freedom. And I want to maybe wrap up this conversation by saying that, like, the task sometimes seems daunting to open yourself, right? To kind of bare yourself to others and even to yourself. The task sometimes is really daunting and it's scary. And it's like, I don't want to do it, you know? But,
nope.
no way. But man, like, the freedom that you experience.
Yeah.
And even just when you begin, not even just like on the other side of it, but even as you're journeying through it, the freedom that you experience is like nothing else. And understanding that you are known by the Lord. So as you discover who you are in all your flaws and weaknesses and strengths and everything that he's gifted you to do, that you're still loved by the Lord. Yeah. There's an incredible, intense freedom that's there. And then the growth also that happens is incredible. And I feel like we also need to be open to growth too, right? Yeah. Like there's people who maybe we've been distant from, who have grown and who have changed, and who maybe we re-enter life with and we're saying like, ah, oh, man, like you never used to do that. That's true. Like, yeah. You've grown a lot, you know? Like they grew a lot. And we gotta be open to that. We gotta be open to that mm-hmm. growth as we wrestle out this whole anointing. So we know that anointing is a thing. It is a thing, and that we can ask for more of it because we can approach God, but that he already has given us and gifted us with that, and that we discover our anointing and our calling both in community, in knowing ourselves, and in knowing the things that make us tick and the things that, you know, that really get us going or that shut us down. And we really can discover that. It's not a weekend thing. This isn't a weekend retreat. Discover your anointing retreat.
Yeah. Sign me up for that, though.
Right? I'll shoot. If that was the weekend, I'll go right now. Yeah. But, you know, we discover these things over time. And just for the person who's watching this who is maybe discouraged about their anointing and calling, who maybe feels as though maybe a comment that they've held on to for time that they have to let go of things, I just want to encourage you that like this is a journey and that you don't necessarily have to let go of the things that God has gifted to you and that it's less about what you do and it's more about who he has made you to be to accomplish the purposes and the plans that he has. That's right. For not only yourself, but also for the community around you, because you're needed in that way.
That's right.
So we love you, and we're going to see you guys in the next episode. Be sure to leave us a comment below on what you want to talk about and what you guys are wrestling with. Also, we want to hear about maybe some of the ways in which you have wrestled down or you are wrestling down anointing and comments, anointing and calling in the comment section. So take care, and we'll see you in the next one.